Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Our friends at Geico want to save you some cash. And even better, you don't even need to leave the house. All you have to do is go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. So I'm in New York. I have made weight. I'm going to be facing the dragon that is on. I'm doing my press. I'm sitting at the press conference. And the way that this works, quite frankly, because everybody that's up here sucks at doing media, and I'm not trying to be a dick about it, but they're so bad about it that Bellator couldn't even schedule a normal press conference. They now go to what they call a press day. The way a press day works, we show up to what we think is a press conference. Instead, there's a bunch of chairs set out scattered throughout the room, and everybody who was invited to be part of this, which I would believe would be the main card fighters, then have a little name tag, and they go sit in their seat. The press gets turned loose, and you see who comes up and talks to them. Okay, fine. Actually, it has nothing to do with my story, other than when I'm sitting there, I look across the room, and who do I see? My buddy TJ Dillashaw. I said, TJ, I'm cutting weight. I got a level of misery. I'm stressed out about my fight, and I got a podcast to do. Could you come bail me out? He said, man, I'll be there. What time do you need me? I said, how about right now? So TJ Dillashaw, yes. Welcome. Welcome and thank you.
I'm very surprised you're doing this on weigh-in day.
Weigh-in day.
Awesome.
I'm on the grind,
it's
man.
Good.
I got a commitment. I got an audience. I got an obligation. And you know what? TJ, if I can tell you, I've been at this 4.5 years. I have never missed a day at work. I was so sick last week. I missed my first day.
Really?
I missed my first day in 4.5 years. I love saying I've been doing this and then filling however long, and I've never missed a day. I missed a day.
Okay.
And I am not going to miss another one.
It's very quite impressive, I must say.
I got to tell you, as soon as I saw you, I thought, well, what is TJ doing here? So you must be cornering. Mm-hmm. And so I asked around, Archuleta?
Yeah.
Tough fight.
Yeah, very tough fight. Yeah, he's got a good, but it's a good name. It's a big fight, but the guy's tailor made for his style. Those Nova Uniao guys, they all fight the same on their feet. He's very defensive and kind of a boring fighter. He likes to, you know, put his hand out and really block you coming in. He only strikes coming forward, and Juan's an aggressive guy. The way this fight's going to go down is Juan's going to use his angles, get outside his left hand, push him up against the cage, take his back. He always gives his back up. I mean, you watch the Joe Warren fight. Yep. The takedowns were easy, and you just give his back up and be happy there. And so Juan's just going to grind him out.
I've got to call two of Juan's fights, and I'm close. I'm sure I'm off the top of my head, but he's like 23-1 or something. I mean, he has some crazy record. So he's a former wrestler. He's running around with you, so I'm paying close attention to the guy. He puts a pace. I mean, he's a competitor. Yes. He comes in, he's mean.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, Dantas is very good. I don't know how mean he is. Archuleta's mean. I mean, he's got bad intentions. Mm-hmm. I respect him.
Mm-hmm. He's the hardest worker I've ever worked out.
Really?
You know, he's one of those guys that's a never say no guys at every practice. And when he, obviously he's smart too. He's got Sam Calavita behind him telling him when he needs to slow it down. But he's one of those guys that never has to. He's in such good shape year round. So.
Does Coach Cal slow it down? Is that something that he has?
He'll not at his workouts.
I was going to say, because I never got part of the slowdown
workout.
He
makes sure we show up fresh for his workouts. But like I say, if we're not recovering through the night, he's listening to our heart rates when we wake up in the morning and we're not as recovered as we should be, make sure you take it slow this day, champ, you know, and then make sure we lead back up to another hard strength conditioning program, you know, because he pushes us very hard. Sometimes our practices will be like 3 hours with him, you know, so.
Kevin Lee did a Coach Cal workout, mm-hmm, and said it was the hardest thing he's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was like an expression. And he goes, no, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I never went back.
Yeah.
He said it was so hard that I told myself, that's bad, that I'm going to grind myself down. He goes, it was that difficult. I just wanted it to be over.
Yeah.
And I know what that's about. I trained with Coach Cal for a meaningful period of time, and there was a couple of workouts where he could not come. So he sent his daughter in his place. Now, she was only 18. She was a gym, little small girl. We did everything that she said,
mm-hmm,
because we were scared it would get back to him. It was a respect issue. And
absolutely,
I didn't know what would happen. I only was with him on good days when he was in a good mood. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what would happen if you pissed him off. So we did everything she said. And she wasn't any easier, TJ.
Yeah, I mean, she follows, I mean, everything he's got laid out. The guy's more knowledgeable than anyone I've ever met. And Kevin Lee's right. I've never had a harder workout in my entire life as well, of all the years of competing, than working out with Coach Cal. But I've also never recovered as well, and as my body's never felt like the way it's felt because of it either, too. So,
by the way, David Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Did you train alongside him? Did you get to?
I have trained alongside him.
So yeah. You heard about his knee.
Yep.
And the beat the streets, mm-hmm. and he's out. I got TJ. It's I so knew rough. Something happened. You know what? Whenever there's a knee injury and you watch it and go, I don't see what you did wrong there. I don't see it twist. It's always something really mm-hmm. bad. Mm-hmm. Every time. It's yeah. There's never a knee injury where you go, it looks like there's nothing. Just put some ice on it. Never. It's yeah. always an ACL, an MCL.
Yeah, he did everything. I mean, it's bad, too. It's a good one.
Yeah.
He seems in good spirits, though. He's staying in the gym, and Sam's got him. You know, Sam trains him remotely, so he's seems like he's in good spirits. That's all you can really hope for.
That's all you can hope for. Yeah. Did you watch the Final X? Did you watch, by example, Jaden Cox, Bo Nickel?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you missed a great match.
Yeah, I didn't.
In an even better series, they won't get the credit. The best heavyweight series I've ever seen. Are you ready for that turn? Mm-hmm. Gable Stevens just finished his freshman year at Minnesota mm-hmm. versus Gwiz.
Okay.
I mean, this was 12 heavyweights.
Yeah, yeah.
12 minutes. These score points going up on the board. Strategy, really? Heart, guts. Yeah.
Stuff you only see with the lighter weights. Usually.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Cool. Even when Bruce Baumgartner was making his run, you're too young. Do you know the name Bruce Baumgartner?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He never had that opponent. It was just Bruce. Bruce mm-hmm. could just win anything, particularly in America. And so now the heavyweights, you've got all this iron on iron, and it made for something very special. It's 2019. We are living in the future, and it's about time you got yourself a pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, hear me out about the wireless earbuds from our sponsor, Raycon. Raycon earbuds started about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound amazing. The company was co-founded by entertainer Ray J and celebrities like Cardi B, Snoop Dogg, and now Chael Sonnen. We're all obsessed. Raycon's E50 wireless earbuds have totally changed the game. I really appreciate how comfortable these earbuds are. And they are super convenient for working out because they stay in your ears. Unlike some of the other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems. And most important, they sound great. Raycon offers their wireless earbuds for everyone in a range of stylish colors and at unbeatable prices. Do this for me. Just go to buyraycon.com/chael to get 20% off your order. That's on me. Go to buyraycon.com/chael, BUYRAYCON, for 20% off Raycon wireless earbuds. If you've been thinking about a pair of earbuds, do it now. You got the hookup. Thank Uncle Chael and go to buyraycon.com/chael.
This is Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Let's steer back to fighting. Pay-per-view was this last week, and I'm going to assume that you saw it. Let's talk Tony Cowboy. What'd you make of the fight?
I'm not one that goes home and watches fights in general unless I'm game planning for someone or watching an opponent for Juan. It even gave me kind of a little bit of anxiety. Like, it's almost like taking work home with you, make me think I'm getting ready to watch or to fight. So I'm not one that like watches as a fan. And as of late, I've been even more so that way. I've kind of steered away from watching it. I saw some highlights. I heard about it. But I didn't watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even without seeing the fight, and I bring that up because it ended a little bit of controversy, mm-hmm. and only a little bit, mm-hmm. but it was still there.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, though. Tony Ferguson was the world champion and never lost.
Yeah.
But he's no longer the world champion. Yeah. Look, solve that riddle. If you're brand new, figure that riddle out.
He's got a super raw deal, yeah.
So as you look forward, the big question comes, what do you do with Tony? Now, mm-hmm. the obvious answer is you give him a title shot.
Yeah.
But it's not quite that easy because one or two days before that fight took place, they made the announcement. It's going to be Poirier versus Khabib. We also can, I mean, we don't have to be Columbo to figure out that when Conor comes back, he's only coming back for Khabib.
Yeah.
So it ties Khabib up. Yeah. That's my point. It just ties Khabib up.
I mean, they can't have Conor fight in a fight that's not for the title because it's got to be pay-per-view.
There you go.
You know, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not going to work. Connor's not a journeyman anymore. Yeah. I don't believe.
Yeah.
I haven't spoke to him in a meaningful period of time, but I do follow his career through the media. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have a good pulse on everybody, yeah. quite frankly.
You do.
Yeah, he's not coming back unless it's Khabib. Mm-hmm. He's not coming back to fight Justin Gaethje, no. by example.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me lay this math out for you and tell me if you think my deduction is right. Yeah. But going back to Tony, it's heartbreaking. He's not getting the title shot. He's just not. He's just not. Even if he goes, okay, I'm going to sit around. I'm going to wait for a while. Tony's been sitting around. He had the knee injury. He had all these different things. Now you're going to make him sit around until December. This sport doesn't. It moves too fast.
Yeah.
So I believe that Tony is going to fight. If I'm right on that, the question becomes who. And again, I think we can take Conor out, as you and I just eliminated. Yeah. Of course, we can take Khabib and Poirier out in the short term because we've just eliminated them. Nate Diaz is now apparently busy with Pettis, so we can eliminate him, but it does leave us with one great option, Justin yes. Gaethje. What do you think? Good idea.
I saw someone put it on social media, and I already saw that was like in the talks, and I was like, oh, I love it.
I love
that fight. I mean, Gaethje will always be an entertaining fight. I mean, he doesn't have the footwork or the athleticism to be boring.
Sure.
He's going to stand there, and he's got heavy hands. He's going to slug it out with you and hope for his chance. And then Tony Ferguson is just a crazy street psycho. So, yeah, that'd be an awesome fight.
Have you ever been in the room with Tony?
No, not really. I mean, I've obviously said hi to him and passed by each other, but I've never really been.
I don't know if you've ever been in a practice room. I have seen him.
Mm-hmm.
He works hard.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just leave it at that. Okay. Tony Ferguson works hard, I mean, I've seen him get kicked out of the practice room. He's in there so long and wore so many guys out. When everybody quit and went to the showers, there's no one left. Then he'd go over to the heavy bag.
Mm.
I mean, it was a really remarkable thing of how hard he works. I will tell you just for fun, I won't get my way, but I would like to see your facial reaction. You want to know what would make that fight even better? If it was three rounds. Changes everything. It changes the conditioning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It changes Tony's greatest weapon, that pace.
Yeah.
It would be a more interesting fight to sit around and break down and dialogue about if it was three rounds. It really would.
I think a five-round fight would be kind of a no-brainer that I think it would be Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even watching Gaethje fight three-round fights, I mean, he gets tired, you know?
Sure.
I think that actually makes the most sense would be a three-round fight.
And it would change who you thought was going to win. See, I'm with you. If you do five, I'm in. I'm watching it. But I know who's going to win this fight. You do it three rounds, not so fast. Cowboy, I know you said you didn't watch the fight, but I'll tell you this, and it may surprise you. Cowboy won the first round.
Yeah.
And then the second round, I'm quite sure that Tony won it. However, there was two takedowns. Cowboy got them both. Mm. Cowboy took him down twice. Now, he couldn't hold him there.
Okay.
But judges do care about that. I mean, it would have been interesting. There, it is quite possible that Cowboy was up two rounds to none. I don't think. I think it was 1-1.
Okay.
But I'm saying that was a three-round fight. Who knows what would have happened? And that's where some of the controversy came in that you missed. All right. I got to do this to you, man.
Yeah.
I'm cringing.
No, you're good.
Henry Cejudo.
Oh, yeah.
He won. He's on fire. Okay.
I am. I mean, more power to the guy. He's doing great things. I mean, I knew it was going to be a close fight between them two. I thought Marlon Moraes is probably the better technical fighter, but I knew he didn't have the gas tank. And you can't deal with a wrestler that's got a gas tank, you know.
Yeah.
Eventually he was going to come in. Cejudo's been looking better and better. I mean, his program's better. So, yeah, man, more power to him. I hope he holds on to that belt by the time I get back.
There you go.
Because I obviously really want that one back. So we'll see.
Now, he's talking about going, and I don't know how serious he is, but he is talking about going to 145.
Mm-hmm.
And he would like a match there, specifically if Frankie Edgar gets the jump on Max.
Okay.
Either way, as silly as that may be, when he started that routine at 125 pounds, it was like, hey, stop. But now that he's gone to 130, it's very hard to say stop. It's very hard to say.
Yeah.
So how would he fare? He's a little small for 145, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, height-wise, I mean, his weight, I mean, he probably walked out. So I weighed in at 25s. I walked out for the fight at 149. I already walked out at 146, you know. He's a big 25er, and I feel like on the average, a normal size 35er, you know, his stature and height wise might give him a little bit of problem for, 145s, but that's why he wants Edgar. It's the smallest 45 pounder out there.
Sure.
You know, that would make the most sense. I don't count him out on that fight if he fights Edgar.
It's very hard to dismiss him at this point.
Yeah.
If you'd have brought that up a number of months ago, I would have counted him out. And I think he was just talking and trying to make headlines, but it is very hard to now say.
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't do it. And we could break the fight down. You don't have to pick him.
Yeah.
But to say that, he's in a good spot.
Yeah, heck yeah, he's in a good spot.
He's having some fun right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to move ahead. I feel like you got a little weird when I said Henry, huh?
No, man.
Is it okay?
I mean, I got to deal with this. You know, I got to have thicker skin. I mean, it's part of our sport anyways. We're in the limelight with your ups and downs. You got to learn to roll with it, you know?
Sure. You want to know one of the tough things? I'm watching this happen. It's our schedules. The fact that we get three, if I have anything that I resent about this sport, and I love this, but I do have my one resent. We get three matches a year. What is that?
Yeah, three
matches a year?
Yeah.
And that stigma, as much as I don't want it to be true, you're only as good as your last match. Boy, it's true. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be, so I don't think it's fair,
yeah. But
it is sure a reality.
Yeah.
And you know, when I watch, we got this, the Raptors versus the Warriors going on right now. And I'm going, the Raptors that you all love have lost three games in the last week.
Warriors,
who you all love,
have
lost three games in the last 10 days. If we lost three competitions in a week,
you might not even have a job anymore.
We'd be bombed. Nobody would. There would not be an arena waiting for us. There would not be sponsors waiting to talk to us. There's not going to be fans wanting to take pictures. You're a bum. In these other sports, it's no big, hey, I had a bad day. No problem. Shower up and come out tomorrow. That's real.
Yeah.
And I feel like that should be real in fight. I'll see a guy go have a bad day, lay an egg. You never have. I have laid where you come out and you just, oh, I never should have come through the curtain. But you just don't compete. You don't have your heart. You know, whatever happens, but you just don't. If in other sports, you could shower up, get a night's sleep, and walk out tomorrow and do it again.
Yeah,
we don't have that benefit.
But that's what makes the sport so crazy too, is you have the highest highs because of it and also the lowest lows, you know, like you have to sit around and think about that last loss or you get to ride that victory and go
and
on a victory tour
cool, right?
And you're the greatest guy ever, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's what does make this so, I mean, nerve wracking when you walk out for a fight. And that's why there's so much on the line. And
okay. Let me look ahead. Daniel Cormier is going to be rematching Stipe. What do you think?
Man, I think Stipe is going to be something to reckon with. He's going to be coming at him hard, you know. And it was hard for. I mean, if he wouldn't have caught him on that break, I don't know how that fight would have gone the first time. So I would pick Stipe in the second fight.
Really?
I mean, Cormier is obviously a world class. I mean, throughout wrestling and everything. I mean, you can't ever count him out. But Stipe is so big, you know, like stature wise compared to him that. I don't know. I just feel like Stipe is going to be too much for him.
You know, the only thing that is making me interested in seeing that rematch, you know, it wasn't ultra competitive. I mean, it was short. I think 2.5 minutes comes to mind. I'm somewhere close inside that first round. Is Stipe. Stipe felt him. Stipe knew the and said, give me it again. That'll never happen again. And he has been dead set on that. And he's winning me over where I'm going, okay, it's not what I saw, but you felt it. And I have to take you at your word on some level. And it was true what you said. As short as that fight was, those moments were Stipe's moments.
Yes,
Stipe
yes.
was boxing. Stipe, remember when Stipe even took his back?
Oh, yeah.
He was on their feet, but he took his back. It was going Stipe's way until a shot that would have put
break,
a mule down.
Yeah.
You know, hit him right on the jaw. It's a compelling matchup, but you're leaning towards Stipe.
I am.
Yeah. I'll be curious who the favorite is going. It's going to be tight.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, if you're knowledgeable within the sport, it's hard to not be super close.
So you said you don't watch a lot of fighting.
Nuh-uh.
Do you watch TV? Do you got a Netflix account? Have you seen Billions? Did you watch Game of Thrones?
I haven't watched Game of Thrones. I mean, you can't not watch Game of Thrones. I've been told to watch Billions. I've been meaning to watch it. But, man, I've been busy with businesses and life and a 17-month-old kid.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you. Little boy, little girl?
Little boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew you had one. I'm very sorry.
Oh,
good
don't
for
worry
you, man.
About it, man. It's...
Did you bring a cigar up here?
No, we celebrated with one, but it was, I mean, that's been enough work on its own, you know? And then I've got a cold pressed juice company I'm starting. I got my spice company running. We're finding a new gym for the training lab. So staying busy with stuff like that.
Tell me about the spice company.
It's
quite
called,
literally spices?
Yeah, spices.
Okay.
It's Flavor Republic. It is a low sugar, low sodium, or no sugar and no sodium spices. I've been on Coach Cal's got me on a new diet to where, you know, no grains, no sugars. I guess the closest diet we're kind of to is ketogenic, but we go in and out of it. You know, we're never just keto because we can't do that with how hard I work out. And so once we started doing that, I was meal prepping all the time. The food gets bland, it gets boring. And so me and a couple of buddies decided to team up and make a spice company. And it's been doing really well, especially because everyone's on this health kick, you know, I mean, wanting to eat paleo, wanting to eat keto. And our spices fall within that category. So it's been doing good.
While listening to you tell me about spices, you just ruined a dream of mine.
What's that?
You made a sentence. You said, I am doing keto and I'm going in and out of it.
Yeah.
That is my $1 million plan.
Is to
sell a book and teach people about doing keto. But come out of it. Go back into keto. Come back out of it. I didn't know anybody had ever even thought of that. And now you...
Come on. Dick move by you. Huh? You just took my million-dollar idea.
We'll just delete that part out.
I should have written this down. I should have written this down. And hey, it's funny you say it. So, because that's what I do, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that you have to. Like, there's a level of carbs that you have to have. There's a, so how long will you go into it? Will you hold it for 3 days? That'd be a long time.
No, I don't know the exact time. I mean, for the most part, Sam's got me. When I'm in fight camp, he's even his daughters are making all my meals.
Wow.
But we will make ourselves super like that's why when I made weight at 25, I was able to get up to 149 pounds because I was insulin resistant. I was ready to absorb as much insulin as possible. And then, you know, potatoes and things like that to instantly get my blood sugar up. I being able to
prepare your potatoes,
fry them.
Yeah, you can fry them.
What kind of oil would you use? Coconut?
Yeah, coconut or avocado oil.
How is avocado oil?
It's good.
How's it smell?
I don't remember.
Like by example, coconut oil just smells
like
fantastic.
Straight like coconut.
Yeah, avocado is it? You don't remember a bad smell?
No, it's definitely not a bad smell at all. No.
Okay.
No. We use it for like salad dressings and things too.
Mm-hmm. So. And I fully agree. I think you have to go in and out. I've even done like the Atkins, which does work. The purely no carb. You're talking, you know, the bacon and the sausage. Oh golly, when you're training.
Yeah.
Oh, TJ, I've got headache. I've been dripping in sweat before with you know that sugar reduction and going through those withdrawals.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, you know, if you were to hold a keto for 3 days, now you're talking about six workouts.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to
work. It's impossible. But even so, the reason why we're not also keto too is that I'll keep myself in ketosis because I'm working out so much. But I'll still eat like simple carbs, you know, the sweet potatoes, certain vegetables. Because if you're on a keto diet, you're not eating any of that stuff. But I'd say the closest diet we are to it is keto. Because I'm eating close and eating simple carbs, but I work out so hard, my body will go into ketosis because of it.
Okay.
And then a little bit of intermittent fasting and things like that too.
So, okay. Yeah, that's tough. So I got to go one more guy now that we're catching up. But Uriah Faber's back.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool. Frankly, he never should have left. I mean, he really was not at a point where he was ever uncompetitive.
I could always tell you when he retired that it wasn't going to be the last fight.
He looked great. It's like, Uriah, come on, man. Yeah. So what, this guy got over on you? It was a close match. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen sometimes.
Yeah.
So you know, he's got the baby. I think that changed him a little. You know all about it. I think that changed him a little bit.
Yeah.
Possibly a payday, in fairness. Possibly there's some of that. But he's been grappling. He's been staying competitive. He's going to fight with my teammate, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a little bit involved in this fight. Yeah, Ricky Simona, young buck. Now, I imagine when Uriah came back, he didn't think they'd deal him from the bottom of a dip for an up-and-comer. But that's the way it goes.
Yeah, of course.
What do you
think?
Excited to see him back? Think he should have stayed retired? Where do you stand?
I mean, to be honest, like on a technical level, probably maybe should have stayed retired, especially with young and hungry guys coming up. But I'm hoping he's not hurting for money, you know, even though we've had our beefs and whatever, you never want to wish that kind of like bad, you know, on someone. And personally, I think he should probably should have stayed retired, but we'll see. We'll see how it comes out.
If he isn't around when you come back, I mean, that fight works. That fight sells.
Yeah.
That fight draws. Isn't that something with the bad blood? Is it that bad of blood?
It is. It is.
Okay. You would fight. You would fight him.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Is that fair? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have. Yeah.
I always wondered that. And I thought, you know, I bet the answer is no.
No.
I bet they have their lines, but there's...
No, man, it's real.
Okay.
You know, he's the one that created the whole forcing me out of the gym.
Okay.
It was after my second Barao fight. So I defended Soto. I defended against Barao. I was fighting Dominic Cruz. And Dwayne had already moved back to Colorado, and that's my main coach. And so I was doing the back and forth. I'd go train in Colorado, come coach at Alpha Male and train there, back and forth, back and forth. And I told Uriah, I was like, look, man, I need to do a full camp in Colorado. Going back and forth hasn't been good for me. I don't think that's going to be what I'm going to do this next camp. And he gave me the ultimatum. I got to choose. I'm either with Dwayne or I'm with Alpha Male. And if once that happened, I knew he didn't have my best interest at heart. It was more about me paying him because obviously I paid Team Alpha Male when I trained there. And then so he gave me the ultimatum. And when I left, I was the bad guy. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I actually got to, I mean, even though that pissed me off, I do need to thank them a little bit because it did bring a lot of attention to the weight class and my fights and the whole Cody stuff. I mean, that obviously skyrocketed what we had going on in our weight class, but I think it was a dick move, you know? And so, and then obviously then piling on just all the shit talk and the Ultimate Fighter and just, you know, cause we were close friends at one time. And then just for a quick change of me following a head coach and making me out to be that much of a bad guy, you know? So,
well, you have done a masterful job, whether it is planned or if it's an unintentional genius move by you. But you've been public enemy number for being such a nice guy, for being a handsome guy, for being a family man, all the things that wouldn't. you have been public. And I mean, your fight with Dom was personal. Your fight with Cody was for the reasons you just said. If you fought Uriah, it's going to be personal. You have all these personal fights. And I do kind of sit back and go, why would anybody not like TJ Dillashaw? Like, where exactly does that come from? What is the, why do you have, start with Dom. What is the heat with Dom? In many ways, when people, including Dom, said, he's stolen my footwork. It's like, let's just say he did. What a compliment. Dom, what a compliment. Yeah. If you're, even if you're an up-and-comer, makes it all the way to a world championship with the biggest ups, 8-1, to remind you.
Yep.
It, to a world championship, and he stole your style? You're mad at him for it? What am I missing here? Why, where did that come from?
I think all the, it was almost like jealousy because he had this, it was his belt. He got out because of injury, never lost it. I had the belt. He also comes in, and I think he wants that animosity to be able to fight someone. He's trying to play mental warfare as well, too. So I think most of his was that first kind of like trying to get under my skin, and then obviously it led from back and forth, you know?
Okay.
And so I think he's trying to beat me up mentally, which, to be honest, it worked. That was my first fight where I had to fight angry. And that's something I had to learn throughout my career not to do. Some people fight better angry. Some people fight better happy and having fun. And I'm one of those guys. If I go out there looking to show off and have fun, that's better for me. And so even when I fought Cody, I just had to, I learned from fighting Dominic Cruz how to handle myself, you know? Because even in the practice room, no matter what we're doing, I'm ultra competitive. I'm very aggressive, you know. I mean, every training partner I tell you will say it, and I don't mean to be a dick, but when we do train, I do get that in me, you know. And same thing within my fights. And Dom got at me, and I tried knocking him out. You know, I still believe I won that fight, but those first three rounds, those first couple of rounds, I was out there to try to knock his block off and knock him out, and I was chasing him, and that's what he wanted. The fourth and fifth round, if you go back and watch it, I finally like settled down and I started piecing him up and almost finished the fight. So I really do believe that it worked, you know, and I didn't realize what he was doing until after the fight, until I went back and watched it. And that was a big stepping stone for me in my career because I had to learn that how I fight and what's better for me.
And what is going to happen with Dom? I mean, he's been out with injury. He's been plagued, but he wants to fight. He's got the eye of the tiger. You got any scoop? I mean, you ran anybody that knows or
no, I mean, I know he had shoulder surgery. I just had shoulder surgery as well, too. So I know, and I had it also back in 2004. So I know what that layoff is. It's a very rough one. I mean, it's 10 months of you doing recovery and now you got to get in fight shape. So I'd imagine he's going to still be out for a little bit, probably wait around until the right fight comes up. So I don't really have a scoop on it. But, yeah.
I don't know either. I actually ran into him. Speaking of that press conference where I saw you and knew you were in town, I ran into him, but it was real quick. And I said, hey, Dom, I can't help but notice the Cejudo fight that you didn't see. Cejudo called three people out by name. All of your Dom, Cody, Uriah.
Okay.
Dom, for, in that order.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, Dom, couldn't help but notice you got called out. Yeah. And he's not the kind of guy to get called out and not respond. And he didn't really respond. He said, man, I'm going to fix my shoulder. I'm going to fight that guy. So that's all I know. But you know,
it's hard to be.
He's been plagued, right?
I just had surgery on my shoulder 9 weeks ago, and it's hard. I feel like it's hard when you know you can't really do anything about it. It's hard to be ultra confident and take on a fight, you know, especially because you don't know how long. I had surgery in 2004 when I was wrestling, and it's such a long recovery that you don't know when you're gonna be able to make it back, kind of thing. You have an idea; they tell you 10 months, right? But it's one of those ones. I mean, a knee surgery, it's a dumb joint. It does this, you know, think about your shoulder and all the different directions it needs to go and stay in place. It's one of those ones that really takes you out. I mean, I had to be in a sling for 6 weeks. I'm stoked that I can even wipe my own ass now and eat and eat food, you know? And then in 2 weeks I'm getting my left shoulder done. So it's a rough one.
And when you go under the knife for that, Do you stay here? Is that when you go to Panama and do stem cells?
So
or is it combined?
So I do my surgery. I'll do my surgery here in LA. On the 26th, I'm getting surgery done. And then I'll go to Panama as soon as I'm able to fly. I didn't do it after this shoulder because I knew I was doing both my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd have to make two trips out of it. The most ideal situation would be to get stem cells done while you're getting your surgery. I've seen awesome results with that. Or not myself personally, but read about it. But
do they offer that at the clinic in Panama?
Going, no.
Right, okay.
Well, no, just stem cells down there. But the best in the world is what you can get down there. The stuff they can't do here in the States.
I did that, largely inspired by you. I knew you were going to Panama. I went to Colombia.
Okay.
Different company, but I went to Colombia. Jamie Varner, who you may remember, he works for them now, set the whole thing up.
Nice.
And they did, I so you did what we call spot treatment, where you had your shoulder. I did rejuvenation because I had no real injury that was bothering me, but I wanted to do it. I had this opportunity. So, you know, they right into the vein, mainlined it in, and man, you call it placebo or not, I'm telling you.
I did both.
I believe it.
I've gone down.
Oh, you've done.
I've gone
rejuvenation.
Down, I've gone down four times now. Three of the times was rejuvenation in spot treatment, and this time I'll do the exact same thing. Because not only like, so not only am I getting shoulder surgery, but you know, you're banged up, you got bad knees, you got this and that, and ultimately it's healthy, you know? It's something that if I get injured in the future, so your body's able to hold on. Those stem cells you got injected into you will stay within your body for 6 months. Even though you didn't produce them, they'll float through your blood. And if you get injured in the future, they have receptors for inflammation. They'll go straight to your injury. So
okay.
It's something that I think, you know.
But I need to go back. You say 6 months, so I need to go back. Okay.
I think so. I mean, I would, if you could afford it, I'd go back every 6 months.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I couldn't afford that, but I get your point.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. 6 months, go back.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me this. Total topic change. Buy or sell, Brock Lesnar never returns to MMA.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He really can he? Because he's 40, 41. He just signed a contract. He really can't. What's he going to come back at 43? That doesn't work.
And I don't feel like he needs the money bad enough.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's getting paid really well with WWE. You know, why would you want to come back and put yourself in our shoes when you don't have to? You know,
I kind of thought that originally when he went in for DC, it's like, you can fight. Or you can pretend
to fight.
Brock, have you thought this through? Like, it's very cool. And anything you want to say about Brock Lesnar, TJ, you know what you cannot call him? You cannot call him a coward.
No.
He's not a coward.
No way.
Particularly if you look at the guys that he fought in the UFC. What's his easiest fight? Mark Hunt. And by no means my disrespect to Mark Hunt. But that's my point.
I mean,
if your easiest fight is the former number one, if your easiest fight is Mark Hunt, you had a damn hard schedule.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I get that his skills weren't there and a lot of it was size. I mean, I get the whole thing, but I will also tell you, I have been in the room when he walks out, and you feel something.
Yeah.
There is an attraction.
Yeah,
there is a once-in-a-lifetime attraction, and you will stop what you're doing and turn your head and look at the guy with the buzz cut. You just will.
I mean, it's like, for one, he's got all these WWE fans in within the arena, so they're going to get loud. I mean, he's got a lot of fans. I mean, that's why he's been brought over. But then also, he's a very big, like you said, you know, high and tight haircut, jacked. I mean, it's almost like a sideshow.
Sure.
You know, he's so big. And I remember watching him wrestle in college, and that was very intimidating. You know, like watching tape of him wrestling. And,
And the world was different back then because I saw the same thing. So, you know, if Flow Wrestling didn't exist, the mat.com wasn't covering stuff.
No.
I got a feed of the Big Ten Network. Mm-hmm. It was late. Mm-hmm. It was a week or two late, but I had it. It might have been a VHS, but it was the Big Ten Network. And he pinned somebody, and he stands up and he does this, and he's got the mutt popping out where you don't even know you have muscles. And we're at the University of Oregon. We don't even know this guy. And we all sit back and go, whoa.
Yeah, is that
and
real?
Then he went on his run.
Yeah.
I mean, he tore through him. You remember when he ended up in the finals with Stephen Neal?
Yeah.
I mean, that match.
Out of double legs and stuff. Yeah, it's crazy.
Neal beat him by 1 point.
Yes, yeah.
And Lesnar really didn't know how to wrestle, but he could hold position, and he wouldn't beat himself. A lot of heavyweights beat themselves. Eventually get tired, they throw, so they go down.
Yeah, bad position, let all that weight get put on you, yeah.
And he was a competitor. He stood his ground and stayed in there. And then you get rid of Neal. Gosh, Brock had a 40-pound weight advantage on every opponent he had.
Yeah.
That's a big leg up. Think if you had 40 pounds in college. No one would have beat you.
You get to weigh 285 in college wrestling. We have to weigh, you know, I mean, they have to weigh 265 fighting. So,
yeah. And I think, is college still at 285?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, it is, because Adam Kuhn was last year and he was 285. You're right.
Yeah.
Listen up, MMA, boxing, pro wrestling. There's nothing better than being live in person for the big fights and epic matchups. The excitement is off the charts. When it comes to buying tickets, though, you might not always get the best deal for your money. You're shelling out a lot of cash, guys. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Let me tell you about SeatGeek. They have got your back because the customer comes first. With more than 50,000 five-star reviews in the App Store, SeatGeek is focused on making your experience as easy as possible. SeatGeek will pull millions of tickets from all over the web, rate each one, and tell you the deal on a scale of 1 to 10, and then display them in interactive seat map dots. Green are the best deals. Red dots, a little overpriced. I've used the SeatGeek app, and it's great because SeatGeek lays it all out for you. They fully guarantee each purchase so that you can shop with confidence. I'm not about to make it harder on myself, and SeatGeek makes finding tickets a breeze. And best of all, listeners of this program can get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do is download the app, find an event, and use the code
welcome for $10 off your very first purchase. Treat yourself to a concert, a sporting event, maybe a live podcast taping, whatever you want. Guys, one more time. That's code WELCOME for $10 off your first purchase with SeatGeek. Check it out.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Hey guys, you have to check out this amazing new true crime podcast. It's called 22 Hours, The American Nightmare. It's about a murder that took place in Washington, D.C. The family and their housekeeper were held hostage for 19 hours before being killed. Then when the murderer set their mansion on fire, you'll be shocked by what they went through during those 19 hours. And you won't believe how they found the guy. I won't ruin the ending, but all I will say is pizza crust. I'm telling you, it is awesome. Keep an eye out for a special sneak peek, extra episode this week here on my show. And if you can't wait, download episodes of 22 Hours and American Nightmare on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Like what you hear? Tell your friends, leave a rating and review.
Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Going a different direction, but I have to tell you, when I talk about you behind your back, here's a big conversation where your name comes up. I talk with my partner, Ryan Parsons, who I think you know. And Ryan's been coaching guys forever. He's got a daughter he's coaching right now for the 2020 Olympic team in gymnastics.
Yeah.
He really knows athletics. And he told me something. He said, Chael, you're becoming a dad, and you're going to get your kids into sports. You're going to want them to do the sports that you did. But you need to understand the rule is, expose them to a lot of sports because they are going to be drawn physically and mentally into certain directions. And he said there's a number of guys who got into the wrong sport. They could have been world champions. They could have been Olympic medalists in certain sports. They got into the wrong sport. Mm-hmm. You'll see them and they're outworking everybody. They're first one to practice and the last one to leap, but that's not their sport. Mm-hmm. Go, okay, that's an interesting philosophy I'd never thought of. Here's how your name comes up. You, Benson Henderson, comes to mind. Where we would talk about these guys that had a passion for wrestling, who we knew had the work ethic, who we knew loved the sport, which is really what it takes, who we knew had opportunities as high as the Division I level, in your case. Mm-hmm. But they didn't set the world on fire in wrestling. And I don't mean that as an insult. That was probably a hard moment for you.
Yeah, it was.
But you redeemed yourself in that while you weren't an NCAA champion, you went on to become the world champion. Ryan's contention is, as much as he loved wrestling, that wasn't his sport. This and this posture and this pace and not a 2-minute rounds, 5-minute round. TJ found his sport. Is he right? Is he onto something there?
I do believe he's right. I remember getting way too nervous for wrestling too. Like I put way too much pressure on myself. And I don't know why. But I remember, like, after my senior year of college, I went to nationals 3 times. I went 0-6, you know, like, finished my wrestling career 0-6 at NCAAs and just crying with my family, like, all that work, you know, from being 5 years old all the way to graduating college, just like, that's it. You know, I had no idea I was going to fight. I mean, I was going to go to grad school. I was enrolled in grad school after graduating. And then once I got talked into fighting by Mark Munoz, once they started doing jiu-jitsu, and it's like, I really like this. I think I could be good at this, you know. Went to Alpha Male, started competing against the number 2 and 3 guys in the world, and instantly caught on. Like, I think maybe just how aggressive I am as well, too. But I fell in love with striking. Instantly fell in love with it. The timing, the athleticism of striking was just something I love and something I would love to pursue if I was able to get within just a striking mat, kickboxing or boxing, and something that I would love to do in the future.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. It instantly clicked. And I wrestled my whole life. I was good at, like you said, I was good at wrestling, but I wasn't ever fantastic. I wasn't something that just clicks for me like it does for some guys. You know, I watched the Lance Palmers. You know, he doesn't have to train that hard and to be as good as he is. He does train hard, but he didn't have to. He just, like, it would come naturally to him. To where me, I was the one that was, like, busting my butt to be good. For instance, my little brother was amazing at it. He didn't even try. It was just awesome. And then eventually just gave it up. But for me, I was always the one that had to work way extra, stay later, go to the early practices to even be good at wrestling.
Sure.
I took that work ethic to fighting, but it just happened. I don't know. Yeah. So I do believe that you can find your sport.
You got to find your sport.
I really believe that let your son or daughter do whatever they want to do. I mean, obviously push them in the direction you kind of want to, but let them play everything and do everything and then hopefully find what they fall into.
And I found some of it relatable for me, even within the sport of wrestling. I did all three styles. I wrestled all year round. Mm-hmm. And TJ, I could get whipped by these guys, but if it was Greco-Roman time, I'd put them right on their head. Yeah. I would beat they wouldn't even get out of the first round with me. And I would never know why. Go, I can't beat that guy. He proved it to me 5 times this year.
Yeah.
Greco-Roman, he couldn't even get out of the first round. And I get maybe Ryan's point was true that, you know, you find your sport. There's just something about that. I've had that conversation behind your back, and I wanted to ask you, and I will let Ryan know that you think he's right. Now, by the way, you brought up a name, Mark Munoz.
Yeah.
What is he doing now? I have a very hard time reaching him, and when he texts me back, which is pretty promptly, it's 2 words. He totally blows me off.
Yeah. He is that way. He's pretty hard with his phone. He's coaching us now. So he's,
oh,
yeah. He's our head coach at the training lab.
I didn't know that.
Yes. He's always coaching. He's been coaching youth wrestling now at Laguna Hills. He's coaching his son, which his son has turned out to be a monster and is getting a Fulbright scholarship. I think Arizona State.
And that's going to happen now. Yeah. His son's out of eligibility.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay,
yeah.
Finished runner-up in California, signed with Arizona State.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes, he has 1 year. I believe that's now. So now he's coaching us. I know he's doing 3 days a week right now. But hoping to probably get him on even more. Just one of those guys that's very well-rounded, awesome guy. How could you not love Mark Munoz?
Sure. Yeah.
Teaches great character in our gym. So, yeah, it's awesome. Like, he was my assistant wrestling coach in college, and now it's come full circle, and he's my head coach at Training Lab. Other than, obviously, Dwayne Ludwig's my head coach, but while Dwayne's not in town, he's the one running the program. So
sorry to cut you off. No, I thoroughly appreciate your time. I must get something to eat. I must get something to drink. Yeah. I got the Dragon tomorrow. You want to make a prediction? Who wins that? Chael or Liotta?
Man, you got it with your pressure alone.
I got to pressure him though, right?
Yeah.
Got to pressure him.
He wants to run. He wants that distance. He wants you to stand in front of him.
What do I do when he runs like that?
Head.
Sideways. Cut him off.
I mean, he's orthodox, right? It depends if you like to. I mean, I would switch my stances a lot on him to be able to cut him off, right? He's going to want to circle back into his right. He's going to want to try to stay back. He's going to lean his head really far, right? And so what I like to do on guys, which is going to happen to one or when's this come out?
Tomorrow. No, we're right on time. Yeah.
Perfect. Cool. This is going to happen with Juan's guy, too. Juan's guy likes to do the exact same thing. Likes to keep his distance, like keep his head back, right? So if you miss that first overhand, rolling into the next to land that next one to where he might think you're shooting a shot, right? I think faking shots on Lyoto is going to be a big thing, too, right? Keep him like, oh, I don't want to get taken down, right? This is how he's going to win the fight. Get him guessing here and then going upstairs kind of thing.
Okay.
I use it a lot against Burrell because I knew he thought my only chance was to beat him wrestling, fake the shot, land uppercuts, or fake that shot, especially maybe an outside like leg touch to like a big overhand left for you or something, you know?
I've seen you fake shots right into head kicks too, by the way.
Yes, that too. Yeah,
I appreciate you not bringing it because I don't have that tool. Thank you. Thank you very much. But I must also tell you this. So you said you watched Game of Thrones. You're going to watch Billions. Billions is actually a better show.
I've been told that. Okay.
Yes, it's not as expensive and hard to produce. You don't have the costumes and the night shots and that. But if you want to know just entertainment for entertainment, storyline for storyline, that's a tremendous compliment. Game of Thrones is amongst the best shows ever made. It's up there with The Wire. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, yes, Billions is a little bit more simple, but it's a better show. And one more pick, if you're out here and you have a net, you'll need Netflix, but it's called Dead to Me.
Dead to
Christina
Me.
Applegate.
Okay.
And it takes you on a ride. Okay. That's all I can say. You watch about 10 minutes and you'll like the first. It's not one of those, oh, you must watch a couple of episodes. No, I'm not that good. But in the first 10 minutes, you go, okay, is this a comedy? Is this a romance? What is this?
Yes.
By the end of the first episode, and it's only 25 minutes, you're going to go, I know exactly what this is, and it's freaking crazy, and I'm in. Mm-hmm. And you'll love it. So if you have some time, Dead to Me. Yes.
Okay.
But start with Billions. Truly one of the best shows ever made.
Okay. I've been told that. I've been told to watch it, and I just haven't done it yet.
Do you have anything you want to get off your chest? Anything I didn't cover? Anything I didn't ask you? Hopes, goals, dreams, secrets? You want to tell a secret? You want to start a rumor? Gossip or something?
I don't have any gossip other than myself, really, you know? I don't know. I guess I kind of...
Are we doing that? Are we doing this?
I mean, I don't...
Is this happening?
If you guys got the time, I guess.
We got the time.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to do it.
I know you weren't, but it's kind of like the elephant in the room. You know what I mean? And it's been, I'd say the darkest time of my life as well as the best, right? Like I said, I have a 17-month-old son and that's been a great distraction for me. Thank goodness for him, you know, because it's been tough, man. It's been tough for me to be downstairs with Juan and show my face. It's a tough go.
Was that tough to walk into that press conference yesterday?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Of course. I mean, I've hidden out. I haven't done any interviews. I've just kind of hidden away from it. There's things I've been wanting to say that I didn't because I don't want to create excuses.
Sure.
Let's start off. First and foremost, I cheated, right? I don't want to run around that. That's why even I announced it when you saw it was coming out. Like, I didn't want to like create excuses. It was like, look, this is it. I did it. I want to be upfront with you guys. This is, and I didn't want to create any excuses of why I did it. I knew eventually I would talk about it. And, this is now, it's the first time I have, you know, I was so into doing something that has never been done before, you know, not the two champs. Obviously I wanted that more than anything. I wanted to prove I'm the best in the world, but was also to drop that weight class. You know, I'm a lean 135er. I wanted to drop the weight class to go 125s. And I played it off on how easy it was going to be. You know, I can do it. No problem. You know, I did this. I've always cut weight. And I pushed my body to the extreme. You know, about 6 weeks out, my body started to crash. I started to get tired. I started feeling that I didn't want to wake up for practice, you know?
Sure.
And my hematocrit was crashing. I test everything. I test my hair for toxins. I test my saliva for my hormone levels. I want to be the most optimal athlete I possibly can. And I started crashing, and I test my hematocrit. I was down in the 30s, which I normally walk around like a 45.
That's low.
You
yeah.
know?
Very low.
And so I was down in the 30s, high 30s, but, you know, on the verge of becoming anemic. I decided to take something I knew I wasn't allowed to take. It's called Procrit. It is a anemia medication that would, you know, help me not only make the weight, but be myself. And, you know, I'm not mad I did it because I don't think I could have taken the fight. I'm obviously going to own up that I cheated. I got caught. And it's a rough one, man. It's hard not to hate yourself a little bit, you know? I don't know. It's a tough one.
May I ask you a couple of questions?
Yeah,
since you
yeah,
brought it? Okay. Yeah. Well, certainly the reaction of the community took you on a roller coaster too, right?
Yeah.
And it started with the haters,
yeah.
But then it kind of went back. I mean, Cub Swanson came out, he made one statement about it, and he said, TJ, we forgive you.
Yeah.
And a couple of other guys said that too. They go, hey guys, quit kicking Dillashaw. He manned up about it. Yeah. Many people have been through this, but he admitted to it. Let him go.
Mm-hmm.
And that chorus began as well. But I mean, there's got to be where you are. I hear what you said. I can just relate. Just in case I have any new members. Same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Same stuff. I don't know if you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Procreate. Yeah, when you say pro, I know exactly what that is. Mm-hmm. Active ingredient. Mm-hmm. EPO.
Yes.
EPO.
Yeah.
So I get that fully. And yeah, I remember having to suck it up and put a smile on my face and act. And it was tough.
For sure.
And there are people that look, and whether they're whispers or you feel their whispers, it's the same anxiety, man. And it hurts.
For sure. For sure.
And you know what else hurts? When you know you earned it.
Yeah.
When you know you earned it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I think even what hurts even more is my wife having to deal with it. My coaches that had no idea that they're having to deal with it. You know, like Sam Calavita got so much backlash because obviously he's my strength conditioning coach. He does all this testing and all this shit. I wasn't going to bring this to him. This is something that I decided to do on my own. You know, I trusted in the wrong people. I wanted something so bad that I was willing to make. And the real shitty part, I mean, again, I'm not creating an excuse. I f***ed up. I did it, right? Is the fact that I never took my body to anything that was unnormal. Like I said, I walk around about a 45. The highest I ever got my hematocrit back to was 46. You know, it wasn't like I was above unnatural levels. The highest a human body can even go naturally is 50. You know, I see down here people giving Juan Archuleta the eye because they not drug tested him. They made him do all his levels and his hematocrit's at 48. And so like, oh, make sure you drug test that guy. You know, obviously he's in my care. So they're going to want to drug test him. But that's because he trains hard. We knew we were altitude training, all these things. So that's one that really stings is that, I mean, I cheated, whatever. You know, like I got to get past it. It's going to be tough. I understand people that are going to ridicule me for thinking that I did it in the past, all this stuff, but I deserve that for taking that on. But just let everyone know that this is a one fight thing. You know, I mean, I remember going back and I was getting email after email saying that like, you saw us testing, but it was all my previous tests. You know, they tested all the way back before the Lineker fight. And obviously I brought a lot of attention on myself by failing this drug test. And so they ran through all my B samples to test them all. And, Davinsky came out and said that we tested him for all EPO and all of his tests, you know? And so I think that's the one thing I want to make sure to get out there is that, you know, this isn't, and I'll have to come back and prove myself.
Sure.
That'll be a big one too.
I believe you. Oh, okay. I've known you a long, I can tell you're telling the truth right
now. Yeah.
And I know what you're trying to process as well. We go, well, sometimes the truth doesn't make me this evil scumbag that everybody really wants me to be. Yeah. So if I tell the truth and I don't look like an evil scumbag, then they're going to say I'm lying about it. Right. Yeah. It's a no win. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. From a PR standpoint, from just two dudes that can trust each other with each other's checkbooks.
Yeah.
That's it right there.
Yeah.
Which I believe you.
Yeah.
And you did make a mistake. I get it. And I've been there, and there's plenty of other people making that space right now and not being caught. And some of them are even pointing fingers at you. Oh, that's the way that it goes.
I already know they are.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, that's one thing. I've said that about cheaters before. I go, we always know our own.
Yeah.
We always know our own. Mm-hmm. And maybe we don't say it, but we know. Mm-hmm. We can look at somebody. I came through the testosterone era, which you did not. But testosterone would specifically do two things to you that I could just recognize. I knew because it happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I could always spot my own. Yeah. And when I would hear them do interviews and put guys down, or sometimes it was to me directly, point a finger at it. Dude, I know your secret.
Yeah, yeah,
I had
exactly,
those
yeah.
same, I know your secret. I know your secret.
Yes.
I would never say, I would take it right on the chin and just look at him and go, you son of a gun. But I'd never say it. I'd never say it. And I think some people are going to have some fun at your expense, but I'll tell you what.
Of course they are.
TJ's going to blow. It's going to blow her fast.
Yeah. I mean, and I know it's going to last and it's going to be that shit, but guess what? I made the decision.
Sure.
You know? There's no going back from it. But I got, like I said, I got thick skin. I've learned to have even thicker skin throughout my fighting career now. And I will come back and I will be champion again. I will make you that promise. And not because of the fact that I need to prove myself to everyone else, but because I want to do it for me and my family. You know, like I said, that's probably the hardest thing is that my family's had to deal with this and my coaches have had to deal with this and I want to do it for them as well.
Sure. Respect.
And when you have, I feel like not only hunger for yourself, but for other people that you care about, it's a very powerful thing. So.
Okay. Did you get 1 year or did you get 2 years? What is your suspension?
I got two.
You got 2 years. So that goes retroactive to January. Okay. So you got
one.
Okay. Oh, that's when you're back. All right. 2021.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, if you don't mind, but when I got my suspension, exact same thing. Mm-hmm. 2 years, exact. I mean, parallel. I'm telling you that because I'm not sure that you do remember it. And maybe that's good news. It passes fast. But TJ, I made one mistake. For me, 2 years was just forever. 2 years was never going to come. Mm-hmm. I'm suspended forever. I'll never be out of suspension. I remember going into high school and thinking that, by the way, 4 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in high school forever.
Yeah.
I remember that. But I didn't learn those lessons. I forgot them. In those 2 years, I didn't feel I used it that wisely. I did feel when I would go to practice, I need to work harder, and I used to work harder, but I'm going to save that for when it's closer to 2 years up. I'm just going to do this today. Mm-hmm. Well, those days turned a week, turns before I know it, I'm off suspension, and I'm just simply not ready to go. Mm-hmm. And I offer you that story just because I know that you want to be champion. Mm-hmm. I could see it in your eye when I brought up names like Dominic Cruz. When I said Uriah Faber's back, and you said, boy, I hope he's still back.
Yeah.
I could see that. I don't want you to make those same mistakes. So let me just ask you, until 21, what is it you're going to do physically? What is it you're going to do?
You know, something that's always been bred in me as growing up from my family, my mom, like everything always happens for a reason, you know, and why do these effed up things happen, you know? I'm going to spin it to the most positive way I possibly can. I'm going to get both my shoulders done. You know, I've been needing shoulder surgery for the last 2.5, 3 years. I blew my shoulder out coaching Ultimate Fighter. Dumb enough doing the coach's challenge, right?
Yeah.
And then,
hey, what was the challenge that got you, by the way? I watched it. You could not
playing. No, we were playing a tetherball on a balance beam.
Yes, on a balance
pool,
beam.
Right? And if you fall in the water, you got to get up and keep playing. So I went to go catch myself as I was falling off and dislocated my shoulder.
You had the comeback win, though.
I won.
You
yes.
came back and
yeah,
beat
it.
It
popped
right.
in and out.
Sorry to interrupt your story.
No, it's perfect,
go.
Man. It's perfect. So I've been needing surgery on him for a long time, but I couldn't afford to get surgery then because I was fighting Cody Garbrandt. I didn't have the belt. I couldn't say like, oh, I'm injured, but I can't fight. I was like, I got to take this fight. So I went and got stem cells, did whatever I possibly could, rehabbed it, and kind of encased it in concrete. Just built as much muscle up as I could around it, right? But it's inevitable. I've been waiting for the time to be able to get surgery. Big title fight after big title after big title fight. I was like, I'll do it next time. Maybe later. But now I'm out for 2 years, so I got to take advantage of it. I had surgery on my right shoulder 9 weeks ago. Like I said, I'm getting my left one done here in 2 weeks. You know, I'm going to be doing a lot of physical therapy. It's going to be really nice to be able to come back healthy. The last fights I've gone into, I've always had this thing in the back of my head that I can't wrestle. I did a lot of Greco with Daryl so that I can get in these positions that I wanted to. Daryl Christian, you know Daryl.
Of course.
To be able to stay in these positions I wanted to stay in, because I couldn't get in the big shots and get underneath someone because my shoulder would dislocate. So it was something in the back of my head that I'm going to be a striker, you know. It'd be nice to be able to use my full game. And so now it's going to be nice to be able to come back and be healthy, you know. Take these 2 years off, spend it with my son, train my ass off, get my shoulders healthy, and live this life. Crazy life.
TJ, that's a fantastic attitude. This interview, actually, if I may say, this went in some directions I was not planning to go. Yeah. I am not a journalist, so yeah. I do not need to bring you in here and discuss what you call the elephant in the room. I don't have to do that. Ariel Helwani would have to. Josh Gross would have to. I can get away with having you
like
on and
want.
Acting like it's out there. I can do that. But this was a lot of courage, and this was not pre-planned by you and I. It quite literally was a shoot with our audience right here that I saw you yesterday from afar while doing an interview. I sent you a text message, and you said yes.
Yeah.
We have not spoken until you walked in this room, put the mic on, and camera showed. So I really appreciate that courage you showed. You know, you did give some real insight there, because I am a fan, man. I am a TJ Dillashaw fan, and I have appreciate wondered – is he going to come back?
Hell yeah.
Or is he going to fall in the same mistake that many have? Mm-hmm. And I happen to be one of them. 2 years is just too far out.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy to hear that.
Do you like a comeback story?
I love a comeback story.
Who doesn't like a good comeback
story? A good comeback story?
You know, love me or hate me, this is going to be a great comeback
story. Well, and you're such a nice guy, but you are public enemy number one. When you come back, you'll have three, four, five. Believe me, you're going to have three or four or five guys saying, come on in, man. We've been waiting for you.
Good.
TJ, I need to tell you on a personal level, I respect you. I believe you, everything you said, and I appreciate you. You came up here. You helped me out. I'm a little dehydrated. I'm a little hungry. You carried my show, man. You helped me a lot. I appreciate you. I will see you tomorrow. Good luck in the corner.
Good luck to you, man.
Don't screw Juan Archuleta up.
Never. I couldn't screw him up. That guy's a workhorse, like I said.
He is a workhorse. Yeah. Let's take a moment here to give a big thank you to TrueCar for being a loyal sponsor of this podcast from day one with 60 seconds. That's all you're going to need to get an offer on your car. And the amount of time it takes you to brush your teeth, pet your cat, or do a few push-ups, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it right from your smartphone. Even from home, just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions, and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local certified dealer. It is that easy. After that, bring in your car and leave with a check. Or trade in your ride. Get a new vehicle. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offers not available in all areas. All right, as for the rest of you, we've had it with you all. But we'll be back next Wednesday. Until then, for TJ, I'm Chael, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
The summer is heating up, which means that football season is just around the corner.
I think that that's ridiculous.
Join Ross Tucker as he gears up for another exciting season and speculates on what you should expect.
They know that part of their job is to be a mentor to a young quarterback. They know that.
Download new episodes of the Ross Tucker Podcast and more, presented by Bet Online, every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One Sportsnet.